Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of the Mental Toughness and Body Show. On this show today, we're going to talk about the business of being an athlete. Now, most athletes struggle to pivot their careers once they retire, but our guest today is going to knock you out with his insights into what it takes to be a professional fighter in the UFC and take those skills to be successful in business. Now, obviously, on this podcast, we've interviewed people from all walks of life, from your A-list celebrities, Olympic gold medalists, billion-dollar empire builders, and even Bruce Buffer from the UFC. We've interviewed him as well. But today we have a brilliant UFC fighter and coach, Clifford Starks. Clifford, how are you?
Hey, Rob. I'm doing great. Glad to have
you. Fantastic.
Glad to have me on.
Now, I wore the red today just in case there was any blood and it would hide the blood. So, look, I'm really fascinated to get to know more about you and your journey. First of all, tell us a little bit about, your background, what got you into to a mixed martial arts to start with. And then I'd like to talk about, because there's a big difference between going to the gym and just having fun, doing the MMA stuff, to saying, do you know what, I'm going to make this a professional career and go to the UFC. So perhaps tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I had my first sparring match, and I learned something in that match. I learned you don't know what you don't know until you get into it and try it for your first time.
Yeah.
And I really thought it was a simple thing like, oh, we get to hit each other and have a good time. And it wasn't that at all. It was, I get to miss and hit a lot of air. And he gets to hit me in my body and my face. So my first experience was, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. And my journey has been one of, if you don't know what you're doing, see if you can do it better. I like challenging myself. I like seeing who I can become. So I ended up working with a coach, and he started supporting me through that. And he started teaching me how to punch and how to block a punch too.
So at this stage, it's just like just for fun, like just for fitness. Is that where your mind was at?
Oh yeah. Like the first time I sparred, it was really, I just wanted to see if it was something that I could even do.
Mm.
And I gave it a try, and I realized, no, I really wasn't that good at it. I was absolutely terrible at it, but I'm not one to back away from a challenge either. And so I wanted to get good at it. I wanted to see how good I could get at it. So I started working with someone on it, and I progressed relatively quickly. The quick progression came from a belief systems for sure, though. Like, I just believed if I put in enough reps in something, I'll eventually get good at the thing I'm looking to get good at.
Yeah. So how long were you in training before, say, it came to your first fight?
Yes. So my first fight, I probably trained for 6 weeks.
6 weeks, wow.
That's kind of a short time. I'm telling you, Rob, I'm kind of nuts. So I'll jump into things hot. And it started me on my entrepreneurial journey too, because there's this saying, it's called just-in-time learning. When you're put under the spot, you get to see how quickly did you retain what you were practicing or did you not under the lights.
Yes. Now, I will say to the audience that are watching this that Clifford does have a little bit of bandwidth issues today, so it's not what you're it's not yours, it's Clifford's. It's not you, it's him.
Yes, it's all me. It's so, my fault. I'm taking full responsibility.
So I apologize about that. So then so what was the decision for you to say, well, you can go to the gym and you can do a bit of fighting and have a bit of fun, maybe do a bit of a fight from time to time, but most people are going to, have that normal full-time job and do this on the part-time. What was that decision? You said you were a little bit crazy. So what was that decision for you to say, do you know what, I'm going to make this a professional career for me?
Yeah, so I had my first professional fight. This was four fights in, and the guy was a better fighter. Technically, he was a better fighter than I was, and I just happened to want it more than he wanted it. And from that, like, I made the decision. Like, I'm like, I'm going all in on this thing because I know I can go with the best of the best if I keep refining my skill sets. I already have the mind for it. I have the heart for it. So I'm just going to refine my skill set and put the pieces together.
And so how hard is it to get to the UFC stage?
Very, very hard.
So I imagine there's like everybody wants to get to the UFC. There's a big queue of people that want to get there, but not everybody does.
Yeah, like, see, this is where it gets interesting for me, because even speaking this, and it's not to undermine anyone, a person will realize how bad they want something when the tests show up. And usually it's more of a mental test than it is a physical test. Now, most people are going to believe, like, oh, they're just not physically capable. That's usually not true. It's more of a mental game than it is a physical game. And if a person mentally wants it bad enough, I've worked with some non-quote unquote talented people, and they're dangerous because they want it. And so if you want it bad enough, you can make it there. But how many people want it bad enough? That's the question.
And so your record is 17 fights, is that right? Is that how many you won?
Yeah, I had 15. I want to say off the top of my head, it was 21 fights.
29
Yeah.
fights. And where, so how long ago do, oh, I didn't say this. Our birthdays are on the same day.
Oh, nice. So you're awesome.
12. We're both Leos. We're both hungry. Just 13 years difference. I'm a touch older than you, but anyway. Now I've lost my train of thought. Carol, what did I ask you?
You asked me how many fights I had.
Yeah, how many fights you'd had? Oh,
Yeah,
yes.
you
Sorry. Yeah,
asked how
that's
many
how we
fights
got.
I
Oh,
had.
yeah, I got distracted with the time. So how long ago did you retire?
I retired 2017.
Okay. So not really that long ago in the scheme of things. That
Yeah.
decision to retire. That must be really tough, but what goes through your head? What brought you to that decision to say, yeah, it's time to move into the business side of things now?
You know, it's really funny because I didn't know it until I stepped into the cage for my last time. I was like terrified for this fight, and I never felt that before. Very strange. I'm like, why am I so terrified? And I'm warming up in the back with my coach, and I knew something was off, and I didn't know what it was. And I'm walking towards the cage, and I'm still freaking out. And I'm like, this feels weird. Like, I don't like this at all. Well, they closed the cage door, and that's when it hit me. The only thing I was thinking about was I got to watch my son tomorrow. Like, and so you having to watch your kid and being in a fight with another killer, that's probably not the best spot to be in. But that's what I do, where I'm like, I'm looking across the ring and I'm like, oh crap, let me get through this unscathed so I can go take care of my kid.
Did you happen to win that one?
No.
No.
And I had him out on his feet on the second round too. I had him out on his feet, and I went in for a take. Like, my head was not in the game. And my coach could tell, like, just wasn't there.
Yeah, so do you think that shift is because now you've got family commitments that just you lose the hunger, your priorities change, and it's like, you know what, I think I'm done now.
Yeah, it's a priority thing. More like the hunger's still there. I don't think it would ever go away. It's just directed towards something else. Like when I directed it towards business, that hunger is still the same hunger, but my priorities aren't okay, let's risk physical damage. Because if I risk physical damage, I have to worry about the challenges of being a dad and a husband, and it just the risk reward just isn't there.
So I guess if we talk about the business side of things for a sec, I mean, you go through or have gone through so much through just the discipline of the training and, you know, physically getting hits to the face and so forth. It's just horrible, really. But what that prepares you for in terms of that resilience and mental toughness you can take to any part of your life, how did you, so while you were through your career, were you thinking about, so what's that next step? What am I going to do beyond this? How do I turn this into a business and so forth? Or did you just retire and then thought, all right, I need to do something?
I just retired and said, oh, wow, Amazon FBA, you can make a lot of money doing that. I thought I was like, oh, I'm gonna get into business. I'm going to take care of my family, and it's gonna be great. Everything's gonna be nice.
And so what was your, so you,
I
did you move straight into coaching or did you try a few different things and thought, well, I'll stay sort of, I mean, we can talk about your coaching clients, but I don't know whether you're coaching people around the MMA UFC space or so forth. But did you try a couple of things or did you just naturally say, do you know what I'm going to do? Just go straight to this.
You know, I went with selling goods on Amazon. And the reason I even got into coaching was because all my clients were calling me coach. And what I mean by clients, I was a personal trainer before I was even a fighter. So I got into that. I was an overweight kid. I lost the weight and I wanted to help other people lose weight. And ev everyone kept calling me coach. And so I said, oh, I should probably get certified as a coach. And so when I got certified, I'm like, holy crap, I've been doing this all my life.
So where do you do most of your coaching now? Is it around people that just want to improve their health, or is it MMA, UFC stuff,
So
or
I actually focus on business owners specifically and entrepreneurs. And the reason I focus on them, what your internal world controls your external world. So if you're
Absolutely.
good inside, you can be good outside. A business owner is affecting more than just themselves. They're affecting their clientele. They're affecting the employees they work with. They're affecting their joint venture partners. And so I wanted to connect with those who were affecting multiple people at one time because my goal, when I got out of fighting, I did want to I wanted to inspire a billion people to live a life of loving and consciousness. And that goal hasn't, now the billion people, it's constantly changing and getting bigger. But my whole goal was love one another. Like that was my main goal is we got to love one another. And I realized, oh, people need a reason to love. Like they need a reason to. And that's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing.
And do you think you take the same hunger from the ring to attach it to business, because most people just aren't successful at business. So do you think you like, do you know what? This is all on me. I'm going to do it no matter what. You mentioned about, you know, support your family and so forth. Do you find that you've still got just that same amount of hunger?
It's the same exact hunger. I think I'm gonna go until the
Yeah,
end.
nice. So when you say look at your I'll say co UFC colleagues that have say been and gone, I'm assuming they're not all successful in terms of post fight and so forth. Do you stand out compared to a lot of others because they just say they don't know what to do or they just go and work for someone?
So a lot of the people that I've been around, successful people, really successful people. And I believe success is just an attitude at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it.
When you believe you can do more, you just do more. Like, and that's not to, I'm not here to blame, shame, or guilt anyone in any way, but I'm like, oh, there's a saying, monkey see, monkey do. And so if you see certain things where you're going to be inclined to be more likely to do those things, it's the same as riding a bike. You know, if a person sees someone else riding a bike, they're like, oh, well, eventually I can figure that out. And so it's not to say someone's smarter than another person or someone doesn't have the resourcefulness or the resources even of another person. It's just, do you believe that you internally have it in you? And if you do, you'll start figuring out the patterns along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. What would you say is your superpower?
I'm super, super courageous and I'm super, super empathetic. So I have the courage to step into what I need to step into. There's a lot of lessons to learn. Sometimes you got to relearn them. And I have the empathy to support others on their journey, because you can be courageous and not empathetic.
Yeah.
And those people can't really support other people in getting into their courage. And you can be empathetic and not courageous. And if you're empathetic and not courageous, well, you never step into your true power, but you feel for everybody, but you're not able to do what you should be doing for you and for others.
Do you think you learn more from, or have learned more from your failures, your losses, or from the wins?
You know, that's such a great question. And I know most people say you learn from your losses mostly, but you learn when you're ready to learn. You know, one thing, there's an exercise that's called gratitude, just being grateful for what you have. That's a positive. And I start looking at life like a battery. You know, it has a positive and it has a negative, and both work together in harmony. And I kind of look at life as you're going to get bad things and you're going to get good things. And I think you can learn from both of them if you choose to.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to go back and then come forward in terms of, you know, what a typical day for you looks like right now. But I guess we have a unique opportunity to step in inside what it takes for, you know, back as a, well, when you're, say, preparing for whatever you consider, you know, the biggest, I'm sure you've got one where you say, yeah, that's really memorable. That's my biggest fight, whatever. What would the typical, say, weeks before a fight look like in terms of what we do for training, like nutrition, working with coaches and so forth? Can you give us a bit of a rundown as what that would look like?
Yeah. So the preparation is done, because you did your mitt work, your sparring, your conditioning, you put everything into place. And then with the eating, there's a couple ways of going about it. Some people actually really, really hydrate their body so that they're constantly peeing. They do that on purpose.
And is it, sorry to interrupt, is it a battle for you to meet your body weight? Because that's so important, isn't it, in the fights?
It is. So it wasn't as much of a battle for me. I like staying pretty consistent on weight. But different people play a different game. Like, I've seen people have dropped 20, 30 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I'm like, I wouldn't do that.
That's too much.
I don't think that's the best for the organs or the body. So, but, to each their own. For me, I know that the most important thing is that I'm mentally right.
Yeah.
Emotionally. And so I focus on getting myself mentally and emotionally right by listening to certain music. I think certain thoughts. Like, I think of it going my way. I also think of it not going my way. What I'm going
to
do.
So what sort of music? Are you listening to hard rock? You're listening to, I don't know, waterfalls, ocean music? Like, what does it for you?
You know, it depends on how I'm feeling. So if I'm feeling like really tense, like too tensed up, I'll actually listen to calmer music. And if I'm feeling like a little bit too relaxed, I'll listen to more hardcore music.
Right. Okay. And so say the, say off season, how many hours a day are you training?
You know, I didn't have an off season.
Yeah, oh, okay.
I was always
on.
Well, I mean, you brought up a really good point. How hard is it to get in the UFC? Well, it can be really, really hard if you're never on or you're never ready. You know, there's been fights that I've taken in a 48-hour notice. I've done
Oh,
that
wow.
a couple. Yeah, I've done that a couple of times.
Jeez.
And I did it because you never know when your shot's going to come.
Yeah, that's a
And so
great
if you're
point.
always prepared for your shot, if you're always prepared for your shot, you're ready to go. That's
It's a
part of
really
the
good
reason
point
I got
because you assume that like we're, I suppose, from say shows like Rocky and things like that, you think, okay, somebody comes to you, they say, it's gonna be in 12 weeks' time or whatever, 8 weeks' time, start training now. That's where all the focus goes. But yeah, I never even thought about that.
I say, and it's the same thing with entrepreneurship. Always be prepared.
Yeah.
You were talking about athletes have trouble transitioning, and part of it is potentially, I'm just taking a guess right now, some of these coaches might not know how to speak to an athlete, like a business coach who doesn't know how to speak an athlete's language.
Yes.
And so there's that disconnect, and it makes it quite a bit more challenging on both ends. And I kind of noticed that as I was going through the transition, because I'm very kinesthetic. I'm very, very kinesthetic. Like I need to know, like, okay, what do I have to act on? Tell me what I have to act on, and tell me what my schedule should look like so that I can take those necessary actions. Because that's how an athlete thinks. They
Yes.
got the schedule, and they got the actions that they're going to take in their schedule.
So we talk about, like strengths and weaknesses, and like my coach, he talks about, my business coach talks about focusing on your like strengthening your weaknesses so that you can become better. So from what forgive me if I get this wrong, but from what I read about you, one of your strengths in the ring was wrestling. Like that was is that accurate? Yeah, that's like one of your strengths. So does that mean for you, when in this context, do you just focus on making your strengths better, or do you do the same thing? You've got to focus on your weaknesses as well, so you've got a more rounded sort of a game for more opponents.
So I like being well-rounded, and I also like, it's called a SWOT, strength, weakness, opportunity, threat.
Yeah.
Depending on who I'm going, I want to take them into my strengths and away from their strengths.
Yes.
I looked at some of the best fighters in the world, and that's what they're really, really good at doing. And even when Mike Tyson lost the fights that he lost fights because, like, for instance, Buster Douglas, he took Mike away from his strength. He jabbed, he stayed long. He played a game that worked for him and not so much for Mike.
Yeah, right. And so in your preparation as part of, because there's so many different elements and so many different coaches that you probably have, are you, say you've got a fight coming up with me, which by the way, you're winning already. Are you like studying me in detail? Are you watching a lot of video? Are you doing that with your coach, where your coach is maybe picking up different things from you and saying, look, Rob's the right. You know, he's right-handed, but he's weak on his left leg, and that kind of stuff. So you know how to take advantage. So you know what their strength is, how to take advantage of their weaknesses.
And the cool thing is there's a saying, never be the smartest person in the room, right?
Yeah.
And I wholeheartedly agree with that, because there was a fighter who he took it to another level. He would watch frame by frame how other fighters would fight.
Right.
So he could see it, and it was almost like when he would fight people, it was like he knew what they were doing right away, probably because he did, because he's watching video
Yeah.
frame by frame. He knows exactly what they're doing, their exact movements. And I'm
Yes.
like, oh my goodness, he knows their movements better than they know their movements.
Yes. Yeah. One of the look, I wouldn't say I'm really big in, and maybe you get this from a coaching perspective. I'm not really big into sports, but what I love is the behind the scenes. So, like, I would rather speak to you for hours than watch you fight. Okay. Because I can get to learn more about you and what's in going on in here. And so there's some, the shows I love on Netflix, one of my favorites is Quarterback. Right. Because I'm in Australia. We don't play NFL here, but because of the show, I watched the odd game. But it's the behind the scenes and listening to, what's Patrick Mahomes thinking. And when he's sitting in his room and he's going through, just like you said, frame by frame and fast forwarding, rewinding. So he's watching what, and he said they would watch like maybe five games of their opposition that they're playing next week. And they're watching, who are those key players? What are they doing? Looking for those patterns and trends and stuff. And he does that by himself and making notes. And so that he knows that, okay, well, I can see Clifford. He always goes out to the left. So I'm going to watch what he, when he moves, I know I go down here and whatever. I find that really fascinating because most people think that like success in life is just about, you know, like pushing hard and doing these things. But if you're not studying your opposition, your competitors, and you're looking for those tactical moves, you're missing an opportunity. So I love to hear you say that.
You're so right. And what I've learned, even as I've gone through my journey, I had things in place that I didn't know I had in place. And the things that are in place are the things that people can't see. They think it's the things that you can see that are the most important. And usually it's not the things that you can see. It's the things that you can't see.
Yes.
So even going into like the UFC, for instance, I'm not telling people, oh, it's so easy. But what I'm saying is there's usually something there. And look at those things, not the things like the physical raw talent, because that's not what's getting them to where they're getting. There's something in here that's getting them to where they're getting.
Yes. And when you hear, I mean, you can see it happen sometimes. So I think things like tennis, for instance, like it's one person on the court, generally one person on the court, and you can see the moment when they melt down and there's, you know, they have that mind moment where they've lost a point and then they lose another point and then they lose another. And then the rackets go into the ground and you know that they're going down. But it's the great ones that say, okay, no, despite that, I'm coming back. So I think that's really, really cool. In terms of coaches, let's talk about coaches. What's obviously we're both coaches, but what is the importance that you placed on your coaches while you were fighting and maybe coaches that you have now to help you on your entrepreneurial journey?
You know, like a coach is an integral part on getting to success. There's no way around that. And I was kind of shocked because what I learned, it took me some time to learn this one, and I actually love your thoughts on it. I need to sell people who know they want to be sold on it. Like they know the importance of it.
Yeah.
Because the people who need it the most are the ones who don't realize the importance of it. It's very, very
that's strong. Right.
And at one time I'm like, oh, I got to go after the people who need it the most. And no, you don't go after the people who need it. You go after the people who want it. It's the craziest thing ever. And so going through that, I'm like, you're kidding me. I'm like, oh, that's why they're where they're at. And that's why this group over here is where they're at. It is what it is.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? I find that, so I turned 56 on August the 12th. I find that the older I get and the more that I work with my coach, certainly the wiser I get. And, you know, if we talk about the inner circle, let's say it's your octagon, the number of people that you would consider that are in your octagon is pretty small, right? Those people that you know that you know, like, and trust, they've probably been in your circle or octagon for 10 years. And it takes a lot of hard work to get in there, right? And I think as humans, I find that most humans are just happy to just coast on by. You know, they don't want to do what you and I want. You know, they don't want those high performance outcomes. They just want to go through each week, distract themselves enough through the week to be able to get to the weekend, to distract themselves and recover enough over the weekend to then come back and do it all again. They don't love what it is that they do. They're just going through life. And I gave up on that idea 15 years ago. And I said, you know what? I'm capable of more than this, and I want more, and I'm hungry for more. And you're right. When it comes to those clients, for instance, I don't want to work with the person that is, yeah, they'd like a different outcome, but they're not really prepared to work for it. Because most people want the success, but they don't want to put the work in to achieve the success. And unfortunately, like you said, even though they need it, they don't really want it. They're not hungry for it. And so if they're not hungry for it, they're not going to do the work. They're not going to, like eat the right food. They're not going to do the mindfulness or mindset type growth work. They're not going to do everything that we need them to do to go to that next level. So they're just going to stay here or go down. It's really frustrating, but then you know when you've got that right person, right? Because you can see it in their eye. I can normally tell within about 5 minutes whether the person is going to be successful with me or not, just based on how they respond to the questions and so forth. So I don't know whether you notice
I
that.
literally, so I was personal training and I was starting to get burnt out,
Yeah.
burning out. And an old client of mine came back, and she was one of those hungry clients. Like when you got her fired up, she'd go.
Yep.
And I saw the light up in her eyes, and it lit me up. Like it got me excited again.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I've been training with the wrong clients. Because even when you have like all of those, and you're like, it's like you have to like pull them up. That's
Yeah.
exhausting.
Yeah.
And so I had to learn myself, as I go through my journey where I'm like, wait a minute, why do I have to, why would I focus on pulling someone up when I can already just work with someone who's hungry enough to do it? Then they feed me because I'm hungry to help them. And I feed them because they're hungry to do it. Like it creates the perfect bond and the win-win.
Yeah. I mean, it's natural though, isn't it, when you first start businesses, like who do you want as a client? Anyone that will pay me. And then as time goes by, you realize that, man, they are just honestly, I've had clients in the past where it's almost like they leave my facility and it's almost like I need to get specialists in to do some cleansing of the room to get out all the toxic energy that has come from them. And it's like, oh my God, that was so exhausting just mentally because the person is so negative. So yeah, I can certainly relate to that. Now I think I know the answer to this. Was we've kind of already touched about on it, but what do you think the your professional career has taught you about business?
If you want something bad enough, you can get it. And there's always a solution to every problem. You just have to be open to look for it.
Yeah, nice. So then this leads me into my next question. By looking at your face, you have not been bashed around too much compared to what you see in some fights. I watched a fight. Oh, it's an old one. It was one with Mike Kyle, so I don't know whether you fight these guys multiple times, but you won that fight. He looked like an absolute mess, and then at the presentation part, you just look like you just needed a little bit of, a little bit of toweling, and your face was untouched, and he's like all swollen and horrible and everything. And obviously what I was going to ask is, so have you come out pretty much unscathed? Because I love where your mindset's at. So obviously your brain is quite good, but
Thank
have
you.
you
Thank
come
you.
out relatively unscathed?
I have. And what was so interesting, I look at fighting as a chess game. And I just, if I would have been taking multiple knockouts, I would have been out because I want to protect my brain. I only get one of those. I loved the game of fighting because it teaches you how to not get hit. Like the game isn't about getting hit to me. And I say to me, because to some people it's about getting hit. I don't like playing that game. Like, I'm like, all right, you go on the constantly getting beat, get your brains beat out. I kind of don't want to play that myself, though.
So you've obviously been knocked out a couple of times. I saw how, like, just
Literally
the
only once.
oh once.
Only
Okay,
once.
nice.
Yeah.
So with that, was that your last fight?
No, so this was in the UFC. I believe it was 2013. The guy was
Okay.
a beast. I mean, his name's Yoel Romero, a great, great fighter. And It was
that
not
the, I might have seen that. Was that the knee, the flying knee?
It was the knee. Yeah, it was the knee. And it was an honor to be in there with them. You know what was crazy about it? I screwed up for 1 second. 1 second. And that's all it takes. And it was my mind, because I'm in the fight and I felt good in the fight. And in my head, I said, I was getting ready to say he's not that good, but I only got to he's not. And then he threw the knee and I didn't have time to react. And it
Yeah,
was
from watching that,
11-11.
you were like on, yeah, like I'm no judge, but like you look like you're on top. And then, and what I actually did, I was watching it on the computer screen. I just looked away for a moment and they said, oh, there's the flying knee. And it's
Yeah, I felt so good in that fight. And I think part of what happened, really, really good fighters can hide their energy and they can hide what they're looking to do. And he looks like he's kind of dancing and backing up, but he's so damn explosive. You have to be on your guard regularly with this guy. I mean, I give him credit. He pulled it off because he got me thinking he's not, and then he caught me with it. So respect.
And so then how, because obviously you've fought again after that. What, from a mindset perspective, how do you come back from that? What's the process? Obviously there's some healing involved and so forth, but what's your mindset to say, do you know what? I want to
I
go
mean,
back.
Rob, that's a great question. You know the saying, you got to get back on the horse? If you're on a horse and the horse goes running off and you burn the side of your body because you fell off the horse, it's going to mess with your mind. You know, I can't say to a person that it wouldn't. It did mess with my mind. And I also knew that just as the mind can be messed with, well, it can be unmessed with too. And when you can go in there and do it anyway, you know, they talk about courage is doing it under fear. When you can do that, when you can have the courage to do what you need to do, you remind your mind. And that's what you got to do sometimes. You got to remind your mind that you are more than capable, willing, and ready. And I even go back to my last fight. The difference between my last fight and the fight I was in right after Yoel, my last fight, my priorities changed. My fight after Yoel, my priorities were still my priorities. So even though the fear was in there, it was like, all right, let's unkink the fear. Let's do what we got to do. We're gonna have the feelings that we have. I get it. I have to talk to my brain too, because the brain, its job is to keep you safe. Like, say you mother effer, you got hit with a, it's trying to keep you safe. But when you can go in and say, okay, I prepared for this. I'm ready for this. I did what I needed to do. And then the brain remembers, oh yeah, we're still a badass.
And how long, if you can remember, how long did it take you to get from that knockout back to, yeah, I'm still hungry, I'm still going.
I luckily only had the fight that I was getting ready for, but I did have one of my clients actually inspired me because I inspired him. And this is how it happened. He said to me, I finally get who you are. I didn't know what he meant by that. So I asked him, I'm like, well, what does that mean? He goes, you know, you always talk about getting back up and doing the things that you need to do, but I've never seen you lose before. You've never lost. And you finally lost. And not only did you lose, you lose in a way you didn't want to lose. I never wanted to get knocked out. That's probably why I remember that it only happened once, because it was something I never wanted to experience. I never wanted to experience that. And I experienced it. And not only did I experience it, I experienced it in the UFC, where they show you getting knocked out like
In
14
slow-mo.
and 15 different angles. Yeah, like, all right, let's watch it from the top. Let's watch it from the bottom. There's some angles. I'm like, how did they even get the camera at that angle? But I went through that and I got back up and I did what I had to do. And I'm like, oh, okay, he's never seen me lose before. So he, like, some of the things I'm probably saying to him probably sounds like bullshit, even though I've lost a lot in the training room. That's where you lose, is in the training room, so that you can go go under the lights and show up. And so the best of the best, I say a champion, the only difference between a champion and a non-champion, champions know they're like everybody else.
Yeah.
See, people miss the whole game and they think like, oh, well, that's the champion. No, they know they're like everybody else. That's why they're putting in the reps ferociously so that they can be ready under the lights.
Yes. Yeah, nicely said. What would you say is your biggest pet peeve?
People who, it's not playing victim that drives me crazy as much, but staying in it. When you're playing victim and then you stay in it, it drives me insane because you can't win there. It's impossible. Your energy's too.
Similar to mine. Mine's excuses. I had excuses. It's like, stop giving me excuses. Like you said before, there's a solution to every problem. It's just you're not looking hard enough. You're not hungry enough to, you know, to snap yourself out of that.
Yeah.
What would you say is that, like, what's important to you right now?
Man, that's a great question. You're important to me right now because I'm talking to you in the present moment. And I really
Nice.
mean that because life's about being as present as possible.
Yeah.
Like, just be
Love
as
it.
Present as possible with whatever you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Good one. Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? I think, I don't like to talk about this because nobody, you know, likes a sad story, but, I lost my daughter last year at 15 due to an eating disorder. And that, given what I do, that attracted a lot of negative attention from people that should know better in terms of blaming me for her illness. And it was a long battle, a couple of years and so forth. And I think it's when you have, like, bad stuff happens to good people. And when it does, you know, I was talking about the inner circle before, I think it really defines who people are. And you'll find that you have people that step away from your life for whatever reason. You don't understand it, but it's just humans being humans. You'll have people that step up into your life. It's like, oh, wow, I didn't expect Clifford to, you know, be doing that or whatever. I didn't expect Clifford to disappear. We've been mates for 10 years. Like, what's happened there?
Yeah.
And there's always a surprise, I think, in that adversity that happens. But just like you said, and like with your client had mentioned to you, I think it's not what happens to us. It's how we respond to what happens that really defines who we are. And it doesn't matter how hard it is. It's what we do from this moment forward that really defines us. And you're absolutely right about being present for people, showing up for people is just so critical. And more people should do it, but they don't, because I know since, so it, remember that thing called COVID? Still exists, but nobody really talks about it. Well, we were locked down here more than any city in the world, like 6 times over 300 plus days and stuff. And I found that it just really changed people. People became less present, more impatient. And that's continued this, like, 4 years later since we were locked down. And I think it's just easy to pick up the phone and text somebody, or just click even an emoji that, you know, you've given the thumbs up or something like that to somebody. But when you are actually present for somebody, it makes a real difference. And I think what I see as a coach, and I love where your mind's at, is this is the difference with success in business, when people don't care how much you know or your experience, but until they know how much you care. And I think that's the difference, because most people are so self-centered that they don't care. And I think that's obviously why you're a success as well, because your headspace is in the right place and you're being present for people, and people really value that.
Yeah, thank you. And I send love and light to you and your family. I'm sure that was a really hard, difficult situation.
Yeah, thank
and
you.
And yeah, you get to see how people are going to show up. And sometimes they show up and they surprise you in a good way. And sometimes they surprise you in a not so good way.
Yeah, that's right. This has been awesome. Just a couple more questions for you,
Yeah.
just for my interest. Where, with your the training that you do now, do you still do some sparring and do that kind of stuff, or are you like,
Absolutely, because I'm so high level and I'm not bragging right now, but I'm very, very high level, so I don't really get hit.
right.
And if I get hit, I like never get hit.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
But you still enjoy that for like your own fun, for your own training and stuff.
I do. Like I like helping people move up because it really does come down to the things you can't see. The difference between the people who are really great and the ones not so much, it's that thing that you can't see. I remember I went with this guy was like 4 foot tall. This was football of all things, football. And this was in high school. So I'm part of the football team and I'm a D lineman. I'm getting ready to go against this O lineman, offensive lineman who's 4 foot tall. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is going to be so easy. And Rob, one of the hardest games I ever played. I will never forget that guy because he didn't care who I was, that he had a chip on his shoulder and he showed it. I'm like, wow, that's impressive. And I think it was Mike Tyson who said it doesn't matter the size of the dog, it's the fight
A
in the
fight.
dog. And that guy had fight. And seeing that, I'm like, man, if someone wants something bad enough, they can make anyone's life hell, that's
They
for
can
sure.
do it. Nice. So, in the end, how important would you say legacy is for you, and how would you like to be remembered?
Yeah, that's a great question. I want to be remembered of loving people. And I want to be remembered of supporting people and being loving and conscious as well. And I want it to constantly spread. Like, how do you make people be loving and conscious? Well, you just be loving and conscious. You know, when you're loving and conscious, it'll start showing up in other people. And I'm seeing my kids, my 7-year-old and my 3-year-old, they're going through their process, and just having a reminder of saying, yeah, dad worked with me in being this way, and you can be this way too.
Beautiful. You know, it's interesting, like in preparing for this, you can have a mindset. Okay, this is a hardcore dude. He's UFC. He's gonna be, like you hear some people being interviewed and they're like really hard and whatever. And you very much remind me of Dolph Lundgren. I got to spend some time with
Oh,
Dolph
nice.
Lundgren, hearing him talk. So you think about Dolph, and we create this image based on the roles that they play in the movies, right? And so in getting to know him, he talks about how he was beat. I'm not talking out of school, because he talked about this in a public forum, but like he was beaten by his father. He was like just a broken man for decades. And it wasn't until he was like in his early 50s or whatever that he turned to mindfulness and so forth. And he's such a gentle guy. And it's like we're expecting this hardcore dude, but he's such a beautiful guy. And it like his harsh background has turned him into who he is now. So this has been truly remarkable. I could spend hours talking to you, but I love your thinking, your approach to business, life as well. It's been absolutely awesome.
Yeah, thank you, Rob.
So two more questions. First one is, if people want to get in touch with you, be coached by you, I'll put the details below this podcast, but how would they do that? Just reach out on
Yeah,
social media or
they can reach out on my Facebook or my LinkedIn and just send a message my way under Clifford Starks, and I'll respond back to you.
fantastic. Well, I've learned so much from you here today. It's been really fascinating. It's a real honor to have you on the show. I'm going to give you the last word. What would you like to say to anyone that's listening, whether they're an aspiring fighter or just looking for greatness in their life? I'll give you the last word.
So the more I go through this journey, the more I realize everyone wants to be listened to. And if you want to be listened to, you have to listen to people first. When you listen to them, they'll actually be more inclined to listen to you. And if you think that's not right, you might not be hearing what they're trying to say. That's just my reminder to everybody.
Beautiful. Thanks so much, Clifford.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on, Rob.